I know what I'm doing, and other lies I tell myself. Jen Kirkman's got a new one out. She had a bestseller with her first one, I Can Barely Take Care of Myself, but we suspect she can. She's on the line with us now from Los Angeles. Jen Kirkman, hi, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I just want to make sure that you can hear me okay.
I can hear you fine. Is there a reason I shouldn't be able to hear you?
I'm on a cell phone.
Okay.
I guess I still haven't accepted that they're a technology that has been proven to work.
Really? Well, how old are you?
Movies on
how
them?
Old are you? Anyhow, I thought you were just a kid.
Well, that's offensive. I've had a career for 20 years. I'm 41. Why would you think I was just a kid? The information is out there.
I didn't.
Oh, good.
I didn't
every,
think just...
every interview I do, I the guy's like, you're 20. And then I just want to hang up.
Yeah,
oh, good.
No, I don't.
Now we're good.
No, I knew you were old already. Because your book, it's all about turning 40 and all, and still wanting to do the things that you did when you were, you know, younger, and the ramifications of that.
Like bending over and walking. No.
Yeah. It's hard to bend over and walk. I find. I usually do one of the easiest for me. Did you work last night? Are you working the comedy clubs in L.A.?
No, I mean it's not really what I do in L.A. because.
No.
When I'm on the road, like right now I'm on a tour. It's a one-woman show, so there's nothing to practice at the clubs here.
Yeah.
I have a new comedy special I'm doing in the fall, and, you know, I'll go on the road to work on that. And there's a few gigs I'm doing around town in L.A. over the next month, but I don't scrounge around the comedy clubs quite like that anymore. But no.
Because you don't have to.
Well, not... because I don't have to. I love to work out new stuff, but I just got home yesterday from a tour, so I don't need to go out that night, you know, and do something. It's a lot in L.A. It's driving for half hour, parking to do something for 5 minutes. So I try to block out a week where I might do that and then take some time. I try to be very strategic about the use of my time.
Yeah. And is it hard to face a crowd of primarily of other comics? Or is it...
No, in L.A. now it's booming. It's not like that at all.
Oh,
I don't really go to the open mics. I'll go to the clubs and stuff, but it's a booming scene right now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's going to end. It's so good, you're like, oh, it's over tomorrow.
There's a comedy bubble?
I think we're on the bubble, but we're riding it a lot longer than before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what people are telling me?
Right.
The reason the bubble burst in the 80s is because too many people with zero talent were doing comedy. And so... of course, that ended. But now everybody is really good, and there are so many comics. It
yes.
seems to just keep going and building. Like Trump's campaign, you can't believe it's going this far.
Yeah,
But we have that on the positive side with comedy. We can't believe it's still going, so we all are convinced it's going to end.
Yeah, the main thing now is to get on Drunk History one way or another, right?
You know what's funny is that... I was the original. I've done five of them, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I just turned it down this year because of you actually get drunk, and it's too much.
Yeah, and I read somewhere where someone saw you on that, and you're kind of the landmark for Drunk History, I think. You know.
Well, yeah, Derek's a good friend of mine, and
I
did the second ever Drunk History back when it was just online, and then I've always done it, but I had to leave for a tour a couple of days later, and it takes me about 48 hours to recover from that Drunk History hangover, so I said no.
Do you not drink normally, and so you maybe have an overreaction to alcohol? Is that?
I think so. I drink, for me, 3 glasses of wine with dinner, and I'm pretty drunk. So to drink 2 bottles is a lot for me.
Oh, they gave you 2 bottles?
Well, they don't make you do anything. I choose to get blackout drunk for Drunk History because, well, actually don't choose. I drink 1 bottle, I blackout, and I don't know I'm still drinking, but...
Yeah.
You know, I think it's best when you're so drunk that you don't know what you might do.
Yeah, no, I like that feeling. I don't know what I might do when I'm sober, though. That's my problem. I'm at that age. I'm at even worse. You know, it's worse. 40 is nothing. Trust me on that. You know, Drunk History is like the worst best idea ever. You know, it's like a reprehensible idea, but it is so great. It's amazing.
So great.
Yeah.
Of course, they told me they were pitching it to one network, and the network went, how about just the history, but they're not drunk? They didn't think they could get advertisers.
How about lose the history?
Like, well,
lose the history, lose the drunk, I think.
How about we all just go home?
Yeah, go home. We have a little clip from, I don't know if you want us to do it or not. Maybe you don't, so I'll run it before you. It's the one where you are Edith Wilson.
Oh, I don't mind Drunk History clips at all. I think it's great.
Yeah. By the way, now, and she was really the first woman president because her husband was incapacitated, Woodrow Wilson, and she was running the country.
Completely.
Completely. Now, did you learn about that yourself, or they feed you the script on this, or did you actually go out and study the history?
Yeah, there's no script. They pitch you this a few stories, and you pick the one that you feel the most passionate about. So that I picked her.
Yeah.
I forget what the other ones I had to choose from were. And then they provide you with research packets.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
But you have to do your own research.
Yeah. And it's
kind of hard. Actually wasn't really aware of this until I was researching it for Drunk History.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew he was incapacitated, but I didn't know his wife was sort of doing that.
Yeah, it was cool. And the way they acted it out was fabulous. We had a little, let's run a little bit of this here.
Okay.
Edith Wilson was the president's wife. When her husband's at work, she's like, what do? I gotta think. It's World War I right now, so let's ration. She's like, don't eat meat on Mondays. Don't eat the gas on Sundays with the car. And then don't get an STD, she said to my soldier. Wrap it up. But at this point, the Congress is like, the president hasn't come outside in a couple weeks. What's he doing? And so they knock on the door and like, excuse me, it's me, Congress. We're having a feeling that, I don't even know what we're feeling, but can you talk to us? And she's like, no, he's just super tired. He has exhaustion. Like, don't bother him. Get out of here, Congress. And she was like, yeah, I literally signed every document. I literally heard every argument. I literally wrote every piece of paper. I literally ran the country. But I want to say one thing about her.
Yes, ma'am.
She's not a hero, but that doesn't mean she's not a hero. Does that understand you? Complicated?
Mm-hmm.
Does that have sense to you?
There you have it. Drunk History, ladies and gentlemen. Jen Kirkman telling the Edith Wilson story.
Oh, my God.
That was pretty accurate as far as I could tell.
Yeah, I think it was that I signed every bleep.
Yeah, we had to work on that one. That was they put on the unexpurgated version there online there. But then we had to.
As I said in the Drunk History that I don't think was in the clip, nothing, like, memorable happened under her watch, but nothing bad happened either. So
yeah.
She did okay.
Yeah, no, she did good, really. So do you get career advice from your orthodontist? Is that true or false?
Oh, that is true.
Yeah. First of all, why are you
By
still
the way,
going,
I know you're why, like, what?
Why are you going to an orthodontist at 41?
Well, it never ends. My
are they
my
moving?
My teeth decided they're moving.
Yeah.
They moved a few years ago. I actually, a lot of these stories in the book are from technically 5 years ago, but so about 5 years ago, my teeth started moving, and I got Invisalign. And I had this orthodontist who only worked on Fridays.
Yeah.
And we couldn't think of
only
a revisit. I don't. He was like a professor. I don't know. He did something else during the week with orthodontistry or whatever. But and he only worked Fridays, so we're trying to make an appointment. And I said, listen, I don't have a Friday free for the next 5 months. And he said, you know, all this travel and touring, you might want to settle down at some point. You're missing out on life.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm traveling the world, dude. Like, I don't understand how I'm missing out on a life that I seriously, like, wanted to build. But I was also like, why am I getting lectured here? He works one day a week.
Right, really? Like me?
But so, exactly. And like me, really.
Yeah.
So he said to me, well, what's so great about traveling anyway? Why do women want to do it all the time? Which was just a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
And then he confessed that his girlfriend had broken up with him the night before because she didn't want the life he wanted, and she wanted to travel the world. So he had a chip on his shoulder that day.
Yeah.
So I ended up giving him, like, kind of therapy. And then that was it. And I haven't gone back since, and now I'm afraid he's read the book.
Yeah, is he by any chance a Jewish orthodontist?
No, he's not. He's okay. Armenian.
Okay. Because then I could understand.
Did I just say something racist by saying his race? I never know anymore.
No. Well, I was just thinking some of the things sound like, you know, I would say.
He did sort of fit the stereotype of like an old Jewish mother, like sit down, eat something. We don't have to always be traveling, you know, that kind of thing.
And the fathers have their own thing, too, which is sort of like, why don't you, you know, start a life, start a family.
Why don't you get a job?
Yeah. Is he the one you told that your ovaries were in a compression bag or something, too?
Yeah, I think I probably didn't tell him that, but I was thinking
You were thinking that. What does that mean exactly? I puzzled on that for the longest time.
Oh, well, you know what a compression bag is?
Yeah, when you have and you put the air out of it, put sweaters
in it. Yeah, and you put your sweaters in it, and you put it under your bed. I feel like mine are in that place in life where they're just not being used. So I picture them in a compression bag, and they're just kind of tucked under my uterus somewhere. They're not dead yet. They're not gone yet.
I'm so glad I asked.
They're put away. Yeah.
I love that Bob Odenkirk quote that you start with. You know, that people should make their art as though their parents were dead. It's kind of important for a performer, especially for a comic, I would think.
Yeah, I think you have to imagine that. I mean, and by the way, at my age, there are no consequences with my parents, but
yeah, no.
I do not want to hurt them or have them worry about me or reveal their secrets. And that's a big thing I'm very conscious of, is not revealing my family's secrets, maybe until they are actually dead. But I think that, just acting as though you're an adult and saying what you want to say is probably the best way to go about it.
Yeah. Odenkirk is kind of amazing. He's kind of a spiritualist in a very weird way.
If I see his name on a podcast, it's like it's the first thing I listen to, and I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, he never makes sense, and yet he really makes sense.
I think that's what all great spiritual leaders do. Yeah.
But you're worried about your mom and dad reading this book, right? Because this reveals quite a bit about your personal life and your marriage, your failed marriage, et cetera, et cetera.
Was it failed? Let's get deep.
Not for me to say.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think it was failed. It ended right when it should have. It would be failed if I was still in it.
And you were best friends. You were best friends, so that was kind of a good thing, but not a good thing.
It wasn't a good thing. I don't think that people should marry the person that is the kind of best friends we were, which was not even the kind where you can't get enough of talking to each other. It was just this, you're the person I'm most used to in my life. We've gone this far. It's been 6 years. We should get married. There was stuff I didn't want my parents to see, and my dad won't read it. My mom still hasn't purchased it. So
can't you give her
one?
She
wants to. I mean, to be honest with you, the amount of effort it takes for me to drive to a post office, wait in line on my day off in L.A., it's like a daunting task. So I haven't, but I could just order her one off Amazon. But I told her I don't want her to read it, and if she wants to, she'll have to find it.
Yeah, okay. So.
But she told me I'm a grown woman and it doesn't matter and all that. But the conversations will come up later, like at Christmas next year, she'll start asking me, you know, like, so what if there is a hell? You don't think you're going?
That's what she said? Really?
She's coming into her own as a woman in her 70s. Like, she's not as Catholic.
Yeah.
But she's very fixated on the afterlife. As you get closer, I think, to the end of your life, I think you think about that. And she is very concerned with some of the things that she was taught would send people to hell. And I don't mean murdering or swearing.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I get it.
And, she's fixated on that, so we'll talk about it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Under the Christmas tree.
Yeah, but for you, you have sort of philosophy. You have this kind of a new version of the I'm okay, you're okay, and I noticed some of the things you listed in here. For example, it's okay to not want monogamy for some periods of your life. That's okay. And that's kind of an important thing to realize.
I'm not in that now. I mean, the thing I don't like about writing a book is you write it, and
there it is.
Years later, it comes out. It was a time in my life where I didn't want to jump from being married to another serious relationship. And yeah. so I had to sort of force myself to be on my own for a while. But now I'm monogamy only. So if anyone in the audience thinks otherwise, that something's going to happen between us, me and the audience. But yeah, so now it's back to monogamy only. But I think there are certain periods of your life where being alone or whatever, seeing different people is important growth.
All right, okay.
Not for everyone.
No. It's okay not to spend holidays with your family sometimes. I suppose there's a lot of pressure in your family to be there for every occasion and holiday, I presume.
Not my family.
No, not your family.
But no, I've seen it in others. I saw it in my husband's family when we were together.
Oh.
I feel like the thing that has saved my relationship with my family is, especially because I'm long distance, I'm the one that has to fly to the East Coast in the winter, spend all the money. Everyone's at a heightened sensitivity alert that time of year. So one year I thought I'll just come visit for 2 weeks in July instead of Christmas, and that there's no pressure, there's no extended family involved, and we had a great time.
Ah.
And the Hallmark Channel was playing Christmas movies in July, and it was sort of like Christmas.
Yeah. You know, I'm Jewish. I don't want to keep bringing this up, but my first wife was not, so it was the first time I got to experience the Christmas holidays, and it was unbelievably tense. I mean, there was like a simmering battle going on. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm sure you have very nice Christmases. I don't mean that you don't, but in this particular family, and it really, I didn't understand what was going on, and there's all these subterranean.
It's simmering.
Yes, simmering.
Yeah. It's resentment, and people don't. It's everybody's own drama, and usually in my family, I'm the only one of 70 people that's in therapy. So I'm just walking around diagnosing everybody in my head.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're absolutely right. Christmas is a time of year. Everyone's blinded by the Christmas lights, but what's deeply going on is resentment and old hate, paranoia. It's a loaded holiday.
It is.
Just as Jesus wanted it to be.
Really, when you think about it, probably a different intention. It's okay to drop your old friends from grade school. Have you had friends like that long, kept those, and are you through them now?
You know, with Facebook, it's like
they
get back together. Yeah. Yeah, and so I felt at one point that I had to look on everyone's wall and keep up and hit like, and then they start emailing you directly, and let's all catch up when you come back to town, and it started to get overwhelming, and I thought, if it wasn't for the computer, I wouldn't, I sound like I'm 100, the computer, I wouldn't still know these people. And so I sort of let that go.
Yeah.
I still have two very good friends from childhood, but that's because we are, it turns out that we were right about each other when we were five. We're all soulmates.
That's rare, so that's a good thing.
That's a great thing.
Yeah. It's okay to call yourself spiritual, but not religious.
Yes, I think so. I don't like when people get made fun of for, well, we just indicated that we think Bob Odenkirk is a spiritual guru. When people get made fun of for saying, I'm spiritual but not religious, and everyone makes fun of that, like, oh, good. I think it's great, and I'm a big fan of anything that'll help me get a different perspective. And for me, I have to sort of remind myself that I did not invent the universe, and that really takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
Even if science invented the universe, that is the power greater than me.
Yeah. I just feel bad for the guy who did invent the universe.
Oh, he gets no credit. Whoever it is,
and has to feel
forward.
Weird about it, you know, by mentioning it. Now, this is a tough one for me. It's okay to talk honestly about sex. Now, I come from a family where sex was just total innuendo, never stated point blank.
It was like Three's Company.
No, my family. Sorry.
No, I know.
Yeah.
It was a bad joke.
That's about as far as it went, actually, was watching Three's Company.
I came from that same thing, too. And yeah. I feel like I still get shy talking about it. It's not a thing I like to talk about. But I think what I was referring to in the book is when I was married, I noticed that my husband and I weren't doing that. And when I asked other people, it would be uncomfortable for them to give me advice on it, I feel like the common wisdom is, oh, nobody does that when they're married, and I don't think that's true. I think it's an important part of a relationship, and then I think people sometimes act like it's not, and so I feel like people should talk about those kind of expectations and talk to their friends about it.
Yeah, but if you don't talk about it in the family, you probably don't feel... back in the 60s, and just to date myself or even further... my first year in college here at UW-Madison, I came home for the summer, And we had this whole thing was about being truthful for some reason, you know, being honest about everything. For some reason, you're supposed to be honest about everything. And I actually believe that. So I made my mother sit down in the kitchen and listen to my what happened to me sexually. And
my, oh my
honest
God.
To God, my, it wasn't much, there was, but there was a couple. They were pretty funny, I thought. My mishap, my sexual mishaps, my first year, and she kept trying to get out of the kitchen chair, and I said, I pushed it down very gently. And I said, no, Mom, I just want you to know, because we got to be honest now. And I have felt bad for that. That must have been like 40 years ago, and I still feel I am so regretful of that, because honesty is has its limits.
You know? Absolutely. It's like Kenny Rogers. You have to know when to hold them and when to fold them. You can't
yes.
just
oh, I felt
be
so
honest
bad.
With everybody. Oh, exactly. But I think it'd be good to be honest with your partner about your history, but maybe yeah. your mother, she
no.
doesn't need to know.
Did you ever talk to your mother about that kind of thing? Or
We do now because,
we do now, yeah.
you know, she's been aware, even through seeing my stand-up, that there's been men in my life, I guess, and she'll say her weird things about it, but, you know, she likes to relate through celebrities, so she'll read a book. I read Lauren Bacall's biography, and she was a great lover of many men. And I think a lot of showbiz people are like that. So I understand. I'm like, what?
That's great. So, just, so you can talk about Lauren Bacall anyway. So that's a great lover of many
yeah,
men. I believe that.
I still don't know what that conversation was, but we had that one.
Yeah. Very good one. And this one here, this is maybe a personal thing. It's okay to stay in a hotel in the same city you live in because you want to watch TV in bed.
Okay.
Do you take occasional hotel in town and just hang out?
I do. When I was writing my book, I would go to this hotel in West Hollywood to write it. I would sit at their, like, outdoor area and just have coffee and just write and I just, it was this really quiet place that nobody was at, and every once in a while I would stay overnight there, and I could only write if I wasn't in my own home, and then I would lay in bed and watch TV because I don't have a TV in my bedroom at home, which sounds ridiculous. I could just buy a television, but
not the
same. Every once in a while, if I wanted to take a vacation, I thought, well, I live in L.A. It's fantastic. It is a vacation. I don't want to get on a plane because that's what I do for a living. So I'm just going to stay in a hotel that has a fabulous pool for 2 days. And I felt like a jerk about it, but I would feel less guilty if I'd actually gone away. But sometimes you actually don't want to go that far, but you want to get out of the house. It's such a first world thing, I guess. But
some of that's inevitable. You're going to do first world things.
Well, I have friends who are like, let's still go to Mexico for 2 days for a quick, you
oh,
know,
yeah, yeah.
two-day vacation. But I felt like I got a lot of dirty looks when I said I would do that, but I would just go to West Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, you go to Mexico, that's like colonialism, though. You got to be, you know.
Well, I should have accused
them
of
all
that.
Their resources
so
for your own selfish needs.
Ah, that's a good one. I should have shamed them.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I know what I'm doing, and otherwise I tell myself, I get the feeling you do know what you're doing, though, pretty much, Jen.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, I'm going to go back to bed. That's like a pretty solid decision.
Thanks very much. Jen Kirkman.
Thank you. Thank you, Wisconsin. Bye, guys.
What a pleasure. And other lies I tell myself.